Hello.
Hello, Alexander. It's Aaron calling you back from INS Door again. How are you, sir?
Oh, right.
Is now a better time to talk?
Aye, talking to me, aye.
Ah, perfect, sir. So, yeah, just as I mentioned previously, this is about your inquiry to the Scottish Redress Scheme. Okay, so I'm just going to go through the application with you.
Yeah, I spoke to Alicia last night, right? I was convicted of an sexual offence when I was 16-year-old. I had to plead guilty at an attempted rape, like 18 months, which didn't harm. It's proved I didn't have sex, but I've seen an hour, it wasn't mine. She'd been on up with other guys, and I was ended up there. Broke into the bus and the silent alarm after the police came in tapis, and, seven police against me, I was fucked.
Yeah.
So I had to plead guilty at attempted rape, like 18 months.
Yep.
Lord Dapper Nephi's statement was a negotiation that went too far. Mr. Clear now had said you. And that's 50 odd years ago.
Yeah,
so that's what she said. She couldn't have done nothing to put me on to you.
Yeah. No, that's fine. As long as you don't have a imprisonment for 5 years or more.
Long time for us in prison.
Yeah. No, I understand. Obviously, minor offences, they don't affect his application as such, but the more severe, like, murder, attempted murder, rape, sexual assault, they're all the ones that, can...
Aye.
Yeah, the scheme will reconsider.
That was 51 year ago.
Yeah.
And I've never been there a lot since, no, so...
Well, yeah. Last
conviction was 2015. I had my last conviction.
Yeah. No, that's fine. That's not a problem at all. I'll grab some details off yourself, just making sure we've got all the relevant information. Some information's pulled through, but other information I'll just have to get from yourself. But obviously, yeah, just to inform you, say that these calls are recorded for training and quality purposes.
Okay.
So I've got your name here as Alexander Cunningham. Do you have a
middle name? Penman's my middle name.
Edmund.
Penman.
P-E-N-M-A-N. Penman.
Aye, that's my middle name, aye.
So it's P-E-N-N-M-E-N?
A-N-M-A-N. Penman.
Yep, okay. And it's two ends, is it?
No, just one end.
Just one, okay. So P-E-N-M-A-N.
That's my middle name.
Yep. Okay. And I've got your email address here as alexcunningham1959@gmail.com.
Yes, that's right.
Perfect. And can I grab your date of birth, please, sir?
26/4/1959.
Okay. And what is your current address, please, sir?
42 Glen Avenue. Lark Hall, Scotland.
So it's 42 Glen Avenue.
Lark Hall, L-A-R-K-H-A-L-L.
Okay, yeah, I've got that one here. And what's the postcode of that address, please, sir?
ML9.
ML9.
1JL.
Was that G for golf or J for Jack?
J for Jack.
J and then L?
L for Lima.
Yeah, okay. Perfect. Okay, perfect, sir. All right, so... with grabbing them general details, appreciate you sharing that. Thank you. I do just want to reiterate to yourself that I do appreciate that these, discussing these experiences can be, connecting to your application can be difficult and upsetting. But please, take your time during this call. If you do need a break, further explanations or support, or prefer to continue at another time, you just let me know at any point during this call, okay?
Okay.
Perfect. And is there any communication difficulties or vulnerabilities that you need to make me aware of?
No.
No, okay. All right, so the purpose of today's call, sir, is to basically explain the Scottish redress scheme to yourself and the options that you have around it, explain how we work as a law firm and our funding and fees, and then I'll gather initial information to assess whether whether we're able to assist you.
Okay.
Okay. So the Scottish redress scheme provides financial payments, apologies and support to survivors of the historical child abuse in care in Scotland prior to the 1st of December 2004. It is important that you understand all of your options before deciding whether to instruct us as your law firm to represent you.
Uh-huh.
So listing these three options for yourself. Option one, you can apply directly to the Scottish redress scheme yourself without a solicitor or a law firm to represent you. Option two is you can instruct a solicitor who operates under the Scottish Government legal fee scheme, where they are paid directly by the Scottish Government for assisting you with your application. Under that government scheme, participating solicitors may receive up to £2,000 plus VAT from the Scottish Government for assisting you with your application, regardless of whether you are successful or not with your application. INS Law does not operate under that statutory scheme and will not claim those government-funded fees. So if you do decide to instruct us, being option three, you would be choosing a private legal representation under a conditional fee agreement, and we would not be paid by the Scottish Government for assisting you. So at this stage, I do just need to clarify, do you have any other representation that have...
No. This is, I've thought about it for years when I've seen all the things about Care Law School.
Yeah.
I said, no, something that's been going on in there. I was in there from 1972 to 1975. I says, it's just got worse as the years went on.
Yeah.
Know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, we're physically abused every day, nearly. Your hair pulled up. I had long hair and it was pulled up. If you'd done something wrong, your hair was pulled up. I once get my horns laid out with a ruler because I'd run away from the place. I'd absconded from the place. And the teacher that came to go, I think he's dead now. He was a Christian. He lived at the end of the block. Our housemasters lived at the end of the blocks.
Yeah.
And he came to pick me up and I ran away from him. And when I got back, it was about a week after it, he pulls me in and he drags me by the hair into his wee room and makes me put my horns up and smashes my horns with a ruler.
Wow.
I mean, that wasn't right, you know what I mean?
No, of course, yeah. I've heard some horrible stories about Care Law, to be honest.
And Mars took into a room, no toilet in it, just a wee bed like a prison cell, a police cell, and fucking your trousers pulled in, your bare arse rattled three times with a belt that the teacher used to use. I remember the belts at the school.
Yeah.
That's what your arse rattled with, you know what I mean? I knew I'm thinking about it early years. Then it didn't bother me because I was just a bit of a boy, jack a lad. And then
you
older you think about it and you read about abuse that's happened after that. I mean, that's been stopped in the 60s, the 70s, no.
No, I mean? Yeah, it's carried on for years and it's probably still happening now.
Well, it's shut down. The place is demolished.
Yeah, no, it is, isn't it? Yeah, no, I do understand, sir, and I'll go into greater detail with about your time in Care Law with you shortly. But just want you to understand that obviously choosing us as option three, we work on a no win, no fee basis. So if your application is unsuccessful, you won't pay anything to us, and if you withdraw your application on our advice, you won't pay anything either. Okay, so if your application is successful and you receive a redress payment, our fees would only consist of basic charges based on the time and effort spent on your case and also a success fee as well. However, the total fees, including VAT, are capped at no more than 19.2%. Including that 19.2% is VAT, so it's 16% plus VAT of your redress payment. But as I said, you won't pay anything more than that agreed percentage.
That's fair.
Okay, so it is important that I make it clear that we cannot guarantee the application will be successful or the level of...
That.
The level of award that the scheme may award to you. But the Scottish Redress Scheme operates on a discretionary basis, which I'll explain later during this call. So what we do with the line of scope of work that we provide for yourself is we obviously see, you know, from the statements that I'm going to get from you shortly, we see whether you're eligible to the scheme. We gather and review all evidence required in order to strengthen and present the best case possible to the Scottish Government. By doing that, we prepare and will then submit the application after the final witness statements from yourself later down the line. we'll then submit that application to the Scottish Redress Scheme. We always have full correspondence with the Redress Scheme themselves, so we'll advise you of the conclusion to the case, and also the independent panel that will assess your application as well. That independent panel is all decided behind closed doors, so yourself or I don't have to attend anywhere. It's all done behind closed doors, and we'll always keep you up to date on where we're at.
Okay.
We'll also advise you of any offers made from the scheme once it's gone through the processing stage, and we'll also explain the statutory waiver to you if an award is awarded. What that statutory waiver is basically once the scheme have given you an award, you'll sign a waiver if you're happy with the amount, and then you then can't. Once you've signed this waiver, you then can't go and take out a civil claim against any other.
I understand.
Okay. So you also do, sir, have a right to cancel. So if you do this, if you do decide to proceed, you'll have a 14-day cancellation period after signing our agreements. You can cancel within that period for any reason without charge, but you'd also can choose for us to authorize to begin work immediately whilst the cancellation rights still remain. Okay, so once we send out them documents to you via email, which will be near enough after this phone call. Would you like us to start work straight away?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, perfect. Okay, not a problem. After this phone call as well, what I'll need from yourself is I'll need proof of identification and proof of address as well. This is so we can verify you and also comply with anti-money laundering regulations as well.
Okay. So I thought you had my driving license or something.
Yeah. So it'll be a driver's license, a passport, birth certificate, anything like that. And then just alongside that will be one proof of address with your
address is on my driving license.
Yeah, of course, but we use your driver's license as the ID, and then we need a letter to match that as well.
Okay, that's fine.
So it's just making sure that letter is dated within the last 3 months as well.
My bank statement or something?
Yeah, bank statement, council tax, anything like that.
Okay,
so I'll go through some more of the application with yourself, asking some further generic questions, and then I'll go through the care settings with you. So the best way to get you, sir, is obviously I've got you on the phone here. Are we okay to send text messages and email?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, not a problem. Perfect. Okay. Okay, and is there any terminal illnesses that you need to make me aware of, sir?
No.
Okay, and would you like to nominate a beneficiary for your application?
What do you mean if something happened to me and I go to thing me? What do you mean under that?
Yeah.
My daughter.
Your daughter, okay. And am I able to grab the details of your daughter, please, starting with her name?
Lindsay Cunningham.
Lindsay, is that Lindsay?
That's it.
Cunningham. Okay, and what's Lindsay's date of birth, please?
Lindsay's date of birth is 31st of July. 1997.
Okay. And do we have a contact number for Lindsay, please?
I'll just give you my house number.
Yeah, I'll just give
you the house number. 01698.
01698. 328. 228. 221. 221. Okay. And whereabouts does Lindsay live? Does she live with yourself?
No, she lives with her mum. She lives stone throw from me, just round the corner.
Okay, what's the name of the road, sorry, sir?
Scotia Crescent, 96 Scotia Crescent.
96. Okay, got that one there. Okay, perfect. Okay, and just to clarify, Alexander, have you applied to the Scottish Redress Scheme themselves for a advance payment at all?
No. I've been looking at it in the papers that for the last couple of years, and I'm saying to myself, the same thing happened to us, the boys I was being.
Yeah.
Even when I took the children's panel to a place called Calderhouse in Blantyre.
Yeah.
That was just as bad. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There was eight weeks in there. You've got nuts in your head, heat shaved. You had any nuts, you know what I mean? It was just, they didn't like you. You were pushed about and pulled about. And,
yeah.
Thanks to Kathy for nothing. And I thought, when I get to this other school, it'll be better. It was better for the first couple of months. We actually got out to play football and things like that, but it was in the classrooms, and if you did something, you were pulling your hair up, and as I say, when you're absconding, you get brutalised.
Yeah, no, it's not a nice experience at all for you.
I was pretty sore for a 15-year-old boy, you know what I mean, a 14-year-old, 15-year-old, got a belt off his bare arse.
Yeah, no, it's not ideal at all. As I said, I could have greater detail about that in a short while. Was you known of any of the names during your time in care?
Tom Collins, Robert Latham, I think they're all dead. Who's your end up in drugs, I think, they're off at Glasgow and that. John McDonald. I've not even been in contact with any of the boys for all the years, know what I mean?
Yes. What I did ask was you known by any other names during your time in care? So was you listed as another name other than Alexander Cunningham?
No, I got called Pun, P-U-N, that was my nickname when I was a boy. But the boys used to call me Gums because I had no front teeth.
Yeah.
Okay. That was Moon Gums. It was a slag, but it usually was Alec or Pun. But they called me Gums because I had no front teeth. My teeth was knocked out at primary school.
Yeah. Okay. Have you ever changed your name legally by Deepol or
no,
anything?
No.
No. Okay, that's fine. Okay. And am I able to grab the name of your mum and dad as well, please?
My mother's name is Isabella Penman.
And can you spell that same name for me? Oh, sorry, Penman.
Penman, aye.
Penman, okay, yeah.
That was my mother's maiden name.
Yeah. Okay, and what was your father's name, please?
Robert Bruce Cunningham.
Okay. The only reason why I ask for them two names is because some of the records that we can request from yourself can be filed in your parents' names with you being on the age of 18 during your time in care, that's all. But they don't get contacted or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Am I able to grab the details of where you're registered with your GP, please?
Avon Medical Centre, Lark Hall.
Okay, perfect. I've got that one here. Okay, and can you remember the address that you lived in prior to being placed in care?
Kerlaw School, Stevenson, Ayrshire.
Sorry, the address that you lived in prior to going into care?
I can't remember, it was 30 or 32. I stayed, it was a cul-de-sac 11. And my mum and dad stayed with me. 26, 28, 30. 32 Glen Avenue, and then we moved to 42 Glen Avenue. A bigger house.
Right, okay. Okay. 32 Glen Avenue, put that one in there. Okay, perfect. And so have you ever gone through any like criminal injuries, compensation, civil claims in regards to the institutions?
No.
Okay. Just to clarify, obviously you've admitted that you've got criminal convictions, but nothing's been spent for 5 years or more as a sentence?
Nothing.
Okay.
More than a phase.
Yeah. Okay, that is fine. Okay. So what I'm going to do now, sir, is I'm just going to get the details of one care setting at a time. and get the dates off yourself, and then I'll just take a brief statement for each case. I think of obviously the unfortunate experiences that you've occurred, and then this will populate into your application and that I'll send to you. So can you remember the name of the first placement you was in?
First placement was Calder House.
Calder House.
Bardyche Road, Blantyre.
Was that like a remand house? Was it like a children's unit?
That was your assessment centre.
Yeah, I've got that. What year was you there?
1972. I can't remember the months.
I
just before my 14th birthday. I got expelled from school. Jack Ladd, as I said. Went to children's panel. Got took to Calder House.
Yeah, and how long?
About six weeks.
Not 6 weeks, yeah, that's fine. Okay, and then from there, is that when you went to Care Law, was it?
I went to Care Law,
right. Okay, 1972 to 1975.
I went to a place called the Wilson Unit.
Was that after Care Law, was it?
Yeah, Wilson Unit, Care Law. No, it was before Care Law. The unit I was in was Wilson Unit. That was the assessment unit in Care Law. All the boys that was in it, house mother was that nice a person. We all wanted to stay there. So
yeah.
they made that a permanent unit then. It was Wilson Unit.
Yeah.
And then when the new boys came in, they just went to a different units. So I think it was through their dates of birth or alphabetically or something.
Yeah.
As I say, it was fine at the start, and then once we started the schools and when you want to go to know you, and it was the first time I absconded, I would be about maybe the middle of that year. I got brought back. We were put in a cell with no water, no sanitation. Pete and Mister came in, two guys, air a chair, shorts down, free across the bare arse.
Yeah, and then you get the belt, would you?
Well, I remember getting the belt when I first started secondary school, but no art.
Yeah.
That happened to me twice. Happened to me next year as well, because I kept absconding to the place. I started to hate it after that.
Yeah. Where was it that you went after Care Law?
Nowhere. I got out when I was 16 because my mum's family member, he worked at a place called Marshall's Chunky Chickens, and he got me a job. If I hadn't have got the job, my dad actually went for a lawyer. I can't remember a lawyer or a social worker or something, and because I'd got the job, I go out, because I think I'd been sent to senior approved school, so I just wouldn't have. I wouldn't lie down to them, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, of course. Okay, so what I'm going to do is... just so I've got that right, I've got Calder House, and then I've got Care Law. Is it just them two care settings?
That was I got it when I was 16 to start work.
Yeah, okay.
I was released with the panel, children's panel.
Yeah. All right. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back to Calder House, and I'm going to type up a little bit of a brief statement from what you start to tell me, sir. So I do apologise if I do go quiet. I am just typing notes up. But just take me back to, you know, on the journey of the first day when you got there. You know, tell me about all, you know, everything that happened to you and what you can remember, if you can.
Calder House, he stripped you all your clothes. I was devastated. So was coming or going. Stripped all your clothes. Any nurse, medical, heat lock. You've got nuts, green stuff on your head. Burnt your eyes out.
Yeah.
Okay, jungle juice, they called it. Threw into your room yourself. With your bed and that. Up the next morning, shout it, bawled it. You'll do this, you'll do that. Fucking, what the detention centres. I was only 13-year-old, you know what I mean? I didn't know I was coming or going. I was there 2 weeks and was off, first chance I got. My dad nearly got jailed for arguing with panel members and things like that. It was horrendous. It was for a young boy, but you adapt. You meet boys that's in the same boat as you, and you adapt. Just then you try to beat the system, but you never beat the system. That jungle juice in your head, if you ran away in your way for a couple of days, you're back. They didn't even look your head. They just dragged you in and poured the jungle juice all over your head, nipped your eyes out. I don't know what it was, burnt your scalp. You were physically abused. Did something wrong in the class, you'd get a slap in the back of the head. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was a nice place, Calderhouse. I was glad to go to it.
Yeah, no, it does sound like it was one to escape, of course. When you said you got you obviously got your scalp burned and that, was that when they were like washing you, or was that just?
No, when they put that stuff on your head. You went, they put you in a shower, right, get a shower. Yeah, sure. You're standing there, bald, naked, and they just pull a big green bowl, jungle juice, they call you. I don't know what was in it. And nipped the eyes out of your head and everything. It actually nipped the scalp off you. I mean, I was out of clean house. I didn't have nuts. You know what I mean? I knew I didn't have nuts. My mammy was cleaning my head every week, checking my head every week. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So when you said that you used to burn your scalp, how long would you say you could potentially feel this pain for?
You had to keep it on. You had to keep it on overnight and then mash it off in the morning. And that's your head all night.
So the burning sensation from it, shall we say?
Well, I was there all night. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So
your eyes are not make your head to the clean up, or the fumes went away.
Yeah.
So you smelled it on your head for weeks after it.
Yeah. So did it used to keep it awake at night and because it was quite.
Aye. Well, your eyes are numb. You couldn't sleep very long, and the first night in there, you're terrified.
Yeah.
I mean, you're a wee boy, you're terrified.
Okay, so obviously, yeah, you just told me about the events of the jungle juice and it burning and stuff like that. What were days or weeks like after that? How was it for you?
Well, it was hard for me all the time because every chance I go, I was off.
Yeah.
I was, but door opened, I was out. I was off. I was buying work home. I mean, they never caught me for 2 or 3 days at a time. Because I could run like here, I was off ski. And every time I went back, I was the same, the jungle juice, a couple of slaps about the heat and that. Then I says to myself, my mum and dad was a miner, my mum's a bus conductor, or some ordinary class people. They'd never experienced anything like this before. They didn't know what to do, what to say. My mum convinced me to stay, they don't want me to go to this new school. So I did, I tried to. I knuckled down. I got a wee bit better, but whenever I knew I was moving, I was over the moon.
Yeah.
But in the 6 weeks, I must have sconed about 4 times.
Okay. So it was 4 times that you escaped from called the house, was it?
Aye.
Yeah.
Okay. A couple of times it was like it walks and that, and then I remember I got home leave. I got one day home leave, never went back. They took me home and then were meant to come and pick me up, but I was there.
So correct me if I'm wrong with this. Obviously, when you've eventually returned back to Calder House, you said you was then placed in like a kind of like cell,
You had a room. Everybody had a room. Some were dorms, but you're always put in a single room. You jungle juice, fire in the shower. Did you see he locked that? Look your head for lights. That 99% of the boys didn't have lights. It was just dealing with jungle juice anyway, whether I wanted or no. And you were firing in that room at night. And then you were in the morning you were took out, and then you just went back into the system. And it was horrible. School through the day, and at night it was just like when you're going to hear a walk, and you're doing this, you're doing that. It wasn't a nice place at all. The jungle juice was the worst thing.
Yeah. But when you ran away from Calder House and you was brought back, what kind of punishment did you occur?
You're treated like, you see the films like McVicker and that. That's where you're treated. You're dragged in, and if two boys get into a fight, which happened every day. It was like separating two teenage laddies. It was like they were separating two grown men. I mean, they were slapped, dragged across flares. I mean, it was unbelievable. They never handled you like you would separating two teenagers, two 13-year-olds. As if they were separating two violent men, because they were violent men themselves.
Yeah.
You get the old decent one. You get the old decent one.
Yeah.
But
he was always a hammer, wasn't he?
Half of them were just animals, just there for the money.
Was it at Calder House that you got, you were stripped and belted?
No, that was at Kerlo.
At Kerlo, okay.
I never harmed it. Cold. We slapped a bit of Calder House. We weren't belted then.
Yeah. Okay, so if you'd like me to say I can read back what I've put in this kind of like statement for you for Calder House to see if I've kind of missed anything or if you don't want to hear
I just leave it. You can just put it on my thing then when I sign it, Paul.
Yeah, okay, that's not the problem. Okay.
It's no upsetting you, I just got angry now.
Yeah, of course, because you kind of wish you had this anger when you was a teenager to kind of fight for yourself, don't you?
You're making it there, you're a bully, you know, no butter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Maybe if I had to go to the right treatment, there's a lot of other boys would have. And I might have been taught to crime in my later teens. And for two or three, I was bothered up to as about 24, 25 year old, then just, I can't do this anymore. And stopped it.
Yeah.
And a family, it's just, I think about it a lot. If I read in, I try not to think about it. And if I need to start reading things in the paper and that about it, I say, that fucking bastard done that to me, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I understand.
I went to Kerlo at first. Kerlo was fine. Knew some boys fake Calder House. Went into the Wilson unit. My house mother was a Mrs. McGowder. She was like my granny. If you know what I mean? She was very understanding, and one of the workers was called Mr. Conway. He was the nicest man I've ever met in life.
Yeah.
It wasn't the people in the unit, except that one man that I can't remember his name. Well, he was well dead, and he was a man in his 50s. He was somebody with a religion, but he was a Christian, and he lived in the end of the house block. That was his house. And boys are rowdy at night, he would come in. And it wasn't a stoker, you're on the portal, and it was pulp with the hair, out your bed, you fucking shut up, kind of thing, no swear, you bloody shut up. And as I say, he's the one that helped me behind the rules.
Yeah.
I just can't, his name can't come to me. I can see his face. I can draw a picture of him.
Yeah, no, I get you.
And the belt I got off the headmaster was a Mr. Thorns. I used to think he was quite a nice man, quite a fair man. But
what was his name,
sorry, Mr. Thorns. His outlook was, run away once, you get segged for a couple of days, fair enough. Run away twice, you get segged, nae leaves for weeks, and all the rest of it. Third time was the belt. And obviously my third time I get the belt, and it's fucking pretty sore.
Okay. You've just mentioned there about obviously the staff pulling your hair. Would that be as a form of punishment or just for the sake of them doing it?
Teachers, he went to school for 9 to 3 under lunch. At night, you would have recreation. We were playing football in the gym. Usual, right? But these times were all right. In the schools, there were two, I can't remember his name. Cat Weasley's nickname was, that's what his nickname was. And boys talk class, that happens in schools, and you tell off. I was never, and I'd long hair, he used to come up and grit. If I was, it was a bit rebellious, you know what I mean? And I said, like, you know, speak to me like that. And he'd come up, not just me, other boys, and grab you by the side locks and lift your hair up like that.
Yeah.
It was pretty sore. You probably had to do it yourself and
yeah.
Pull it up. It's pretty nippy.
Yeah, of course.
There were good ones as well. I've not seen them, wasn't it? There were good people in there, but there were some nasty people. And I know for Franny Answer, that was his, wasn't his right name? He was an ex. He was in the home. He was a homeless boy.
Yeah.
And he was there for, he was about 14. He was still young, he was 21, but he was employed. By Kerlo.
Yeah.
Never done me anything, my boy. But later on in life, he was still with Kerlo, and he meant to abuse some boys.
Ah, well, okay.
But he was here when I was here, but he never ever done that to me. He was always quite like Jack the Lad was, the older boy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just turned 18, he started driving the minibus. He took us to all the baths and things like that.
Yeah.
But maybe 90s, he was still there. His name's Franny Answer, that's what we knew him as, but that wasn't his right name.
Yeah.
But he never done me any harm. But I've heard he done reading. I've seen that sort of thing. Somebody drove over the minibus. He'd been there for, he was about 14, 15 year old. But I'm sure I can remember that Christian one's name. I ran away maybe about 73, middle of 73. I was away for 6 weeks. Studying in the High Barns, Lark, called me, my pal. He was in the Kibble, I think it was. 3 years we stood a lot of out the land, and the aunties and uncles get some eating that. And I get caught, and I says, I'm 15, and I says, that's me, I'm going back this time, and I'm no. I need to start. But my mammy was fucking a nervous wreck. So he came and got me at Lark Hall police station. He took me up to my house to get the school clothes, the pre-school clothes. And I'm in the front door and out the back door and jumped the fence. And off ski. And I was away for another couple of weeks. I got caught in Glasgow. And they took me back to the school. And
yeah.
After I get my punishment for the head my son, I was getting the belt that time. I could tell I was going to get leased for 6 weeks, all the rest of it. And I had the to get any rec and all the rest of it, just to go to school and back to my room, back to the dorm. And that was about 3 days back, and he's come out and took me into his wee flat and made me put my horns up and hit me about six times in the horns with a roller. A big wooden, remember all wooden rollers. My horns were actually, I was nagging for days.
Yeah.
They were all welts. And I couldn't see none to anybody. I was scared to tell my parents because my dad would have murdered them. My dad would have went and killed them. And I didn't want that. I didn't want my dad getting into trouble. Yeah. My dad never had been in trouble all his life. Thought all his life, my dad had never had anything but in a police station. That's how I never said anything there about it. I wish I could remember his name. I can't. But I remember Mr. Thornsey, he'd missed it because he used to think he was all right to hunt me with the belt.
Mm-hmm.
But there were a few of them in the classes, in the classrooms, you get the slap in the back of the head, the hair pull, dragged about with it. Just, you weren't like, in the line, maybe talking, carrying on. It was the right to get back in the line, it was dragged. We dragged across the playground, crying. So I was quite violent.
Yeah, no, I do apologise for the experiences that you haven't encountered yet. It's not the sort of greatest.
Doesn't bother me now. It just makes me angry.
Yeah.
It just makes me angry. But I read about what's happened to other boys and later, it's still going on. But nobody complained in the 60s and the 70s. I mean, we thought that was the done thing. That was just, you just had to get on with it. It's like going to detention centre, Glen Oakle. Your dad has to like yourself. We just took that as that's what happened. But it's no, you see, that was wrong.
Yeah, no, of course it is. Yeah, of course it is.
Well, I would like any of my kids to get treated like that.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't myself.
That's how Touchwood, Damon's been in prison.
Okay, so just so I've kind of covered most things that you've obviously just told me there, sir. Obviously, you know, the teachers or, you know, and staff members would pull your hair. Obviously, yeah, I can understand that, you know, it did cause you some great deal of pain, especially with you saying no to the sides and stuff like that. You were slapped and punched. Was that? Would you say that was near enough on a daily basis?
No. That was at least once a week anyway. There was in the paint shop, he was quite, he'd never slapped you, and he just grabbed you. He's a big strong man. I can't remember, I think it was McGrouder, I'm not sure. And he grabbed you, but he dug his, he's a big powerful man. He used to grab you like the shoulder and dig his fingers right into you and drag you out the class and get right into your face. You fucking doing all this dare down, you with this and that. You just, right, no problem. Oh, I can't remember his name. Hammett lifted your hair. Cat Weasel, that was his nickname. Because he looked like Cat Weasel. Remember the program Cat Weasel? He used to get you, it's the sideburns you go to and lift you up like that. He done that. I got that off him once a week anyway, maybe twice. Me and Shamali, man, the ruler of the horns, the Miss Shamali, man, was my trousers pulled down and a fucking belt a teacher used for gross honours 3 times after, right across my fucking arse. It was very sore. It was humiliating. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget any of these two. The pulling the hair and the pushing the hanging. That, we thought that was part of the course. But that was humiliating. I'm taking me into a room myself. I was terrified. I was only a wee boy, 14-year-old. I was terrified of him. I'm a runaway from him. I wish I could remember his name. His flat was in the end of Wilson Block.
Yeah.
In the 70s. I just can't. He was a Christian. The man was a Christian. He had no television or nothing. He was an evil. He was a bad man. Everybody was, all the boys were flat. Finished. Something about him, I don't know. But yeah, that was the two most humiliating ones. And that with the jungle juice, that was torture. That was mental torture for me.
Yeah.
That was torture.
Yeah, no, that jungle juice does not sound nice at all for you. Okay, so from what you've just told me about Kalo, I think I've pretty much covered most things. As I said, you can have a look through this yourself on the application form, if need be. But I think I've pretty much covered most of the events that you've just told me there. So I'm going to save that, and that'll populate into the application. So based on what you've told me, sir, there's two types of payments that you can go for when it comes to the redress scheme. There's a fixed payment of £10,000 that the scheme can pay you, regardless of the severity of the abuse that you've suffered. Or there's an individually assessed payment, which is up to £100,000 in compensation. As I said, that is decided by a closed independent panel, and they look at the level of abuse that you've suffered. They look at the evidence, the statements, everything that we can provide. Based on what you've told me, I'd like to pursue the individually assessed payment of up to £100,000, because I do feel you're more applicable to more than £10,000. I can't exactly tell you what you could get, because I physically...
I'm not... Yeah. I just you carry on, do what you've got today. I've been going to date for years, and actually, a few years back, when the care law thing was on it, and I commented on a couple of things. Any of the boys from 72 to 75 got in touch, I'd like to speak to you. Nobody ever get back to me. So I reckon the boys, most of the boys I was in, I know a lot of them come into drug addicts and what have you, but none of them ever get back to me on it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But this was all boys from the late 80s, early 90s. Mid-90s it was all on. Any boys, they'll still be... relatively young men.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm nearly 70 now, and that was a lot of years ago. That was 50 what? I was 13, just turned nearly 14 when I was in there, or 16 when I came out. That would be 72. That's 53 years ago.
Yeah, of course.
But as I say, there was some... My house mother, Mrs. McGregor, I'll never forget her. She was so kind. We went to her house. She used to take us, the boys that was kept in for absconding, take us to her house at the weekends to stay overnight. I was like going to your granny's house. And I missed her calling me, tried to learn the boys' guitar. He was the nicest man.
Yeah.
And she, the rest of them were all two-faced.
Yeah.
One AC and AC in the unit, and then we got in somewhere, they might slap me. I mean, 13, 14-year-old boys are going to be cheeky.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got grandsons coming up that age, and they're rotting the lip, but wouldn't they slap them? Not the way they slap me.
Yeah, no, of course, I understand that. Well, yeah, as I said, based on what you've told me, sir, yeah, you are more than entitled to £10,000. There is quite a lot of physical abuse that you've suffered. So going for, the maximum of, up to £100,000, let's see what we can get out of this scheme for yourself, because it's not ideal what you've been through at all. So what I'm going to do for you, the next steps is, I'm going to obviously send you an email with these, with the part one and part three of the application process. Part one is just basically all the generic details about yourself. Part three is the two case settings and the two statements that I've written up for yourself. There's also the conditional fee agreement, which I mentioned previously, that just obviously states our percentages and what we take and how we work on, you know, the effort we put into your case to conclude them percentages. There's also a letter of authority, which basically you're just giving us the right to act on your behalf, obtain records on your behalf, and from them records, obviously, we can then gather evidence. So there'll be an email with the five documents in it. There's a little square box where you can electronically sign on your mobile phone. And then there's a button that says execute all documents. That'll just populate your signature.
I've done the same thing with my code shields.
Same thing. So once you click that button, execute all documents, that'll then come back to myself. And then I'll be able to submit your application to the Scottish Redress Scheme and obtain an application number for you. And then, as I said, alongside that, reply back to my email with the attached images of your ID and a proof of address. I'll be able to, as I said, get your application sent off.
I'll get my daughter to do that. I'm not too good at acting. I can be able to sign. It's a 40-way thing. I've done it before, but my lassie helped me, so.
Yeah, no, of course, I understand that. I'll get them emails sent over to you now, sir.
I'll look at them. I'll send them back in the next couple of days.
Yeah. No, that's fine. That's completely fine. And I'll also send you a welcome email as well. It's obviously got a little bit of a welcome message from myself and any additional services, anything that you need, it's all there for you.
Okay.
Before I let you go, is there any questions for myself at all?
No, that's fine, pal. You've explained everything.
All right, perfect. I'm glad to have for yourself, sir. As I said, my name's Adam. If you need anything, I'm only a phone call away.
Okay, Paul, thank you.
Not a problem, sir. Thank you very much for your time and enjoy the rest of your afternoon.
All right, thank you. Cheers.
Cheers, sir. Bye now.